Well, I'm excited to share the word with you guys this morning. The Lord's been kind of speaking to me something over the last couple weeks. And it's, you know, when you come into a new year, a new season, I believe that it's a great opportunity to tune into the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, what are the new things that you're sharing with me? What are the new things that you're speaking to me about? Because there's going to be new things ahead. There's new experiences, new challenges, new opportunities up ahead. And so you want to hear the voice of the Lord and be listening for that. Of course, this is the last Sunday of 2019, but it's also the last Sunday of what? The 2010s, right? You guys know that? We're starting a new decade. I was curious, like, is this new decade going to be called the 2020s? And so I kind of Googled it, and there was an article that said, well, eventually this will just be called the 20s. We're going to the 20s, and then, you know, we'll look back to the 1920s. So right now we're thinking it's the 2020s. Eventually it'll be the 20s, but it's the start of a new decade. And so I think there's more significance and even more reason to press in on what the Lord has for us. I was thinking, you know, in my lifetime, to every new decade that I've started now, when 1980 was rolling around, I was not quite 4 years old. So when I was looking at current events around that time in my life, it was like, what's my next meal? what's my favorite toy that I can play with tomorrow, or things like that. Some of you are a little bit older than you might remember what was going on around 1980. We won't get into that. But I was old enough when the 80s were coming to an end, and it was 1990. And of course, one of the things that was fresh on all of our minds was the breakup of communism in Europe, and the, kind of the end of the seeming end anyway of the Cold War. And you know, we were thinking about things like that, and so that was on everyone's minds. What is this new decade, the 90s, going to be like? And then certainly we were giving lots of thoughts to the new decade at the end of the 90s when it was Y2K, year 2000, right? And I remember I was actually at that time, how old was I right around then? I was like 22, 23 years old, something like that. And I was kind of in the computer networking industry, and I had sold computers previous to that. And that was a really common question when I was selling a computer in like 1998, 99. Is this thing going to work in 2 years? You know, computers were expensive back then as well too, right? So people are like dropping $2,000 or $2,500 on a computer that's like got 1/100th of the power of your cell phone right now. And they're wondering, like, is this thing going to actually be any use in 2 years? But hey, we still sold computers, and they still worked after the clock ticked over to the year 2000, and everything was okay. It wasn't the big crash that some people were kind of predicting. And then in the year 20, when we're moving to the year 2010, one of the things that was significant at that time, and many of you would, I'm sure, remember this, is that we were kind of in a global recession at that time, right? There were some banks, especially in the U.S., that had failed, and that had a global effect. And so there was lots of people, as they were looking forward or looking into the 2010s, wondering, am I going to be able to regain the prosperity and the abundance that I experienced in the last 10 years? And there was wondering about how that was going to play out. And then I did some thinking and wrote down some things that I believe that the world is pondering and the world is giving consideration to as we move into the 2020s. There's technology and medical advancements, for example, are moving just at a rapid pace, right? They're just blazing along, and there seems to be lots of growth in those areas. But at the same time, there's political situations and governments that are unstable. Democratic processes seem to be not working as well as they were intended in certain parts of the world. And we see a lot of strife and hatred and focus on, you know, racism and bigotry and things like that. And now, I want to be clear, this is what the media, this is what we experience when we consume mass media. These are some of the things that are emphasized. But there's a lot of these things are actually happening. There's human rights advancements that are taking place in certain parts of our world, but then there's other parts of our world that there's really a lot of human rights injustice that's going on. And that we need the love of God in those parts of the world. There's parts of our world that experience amazing prosperity. I had a friend of mine just spent, in the fall, they went and visited Dubai. Well, what a place where there's just amazing prosperity, and yet you don't have to travel very far from Dubai, and there's places that are in deep, deep poverty, you know, and so there's this massive disparity in our world. There's those who do really well and those who really struggle. Of course, there's lots of concern over climate change. You know, this was the first, the recent Canadian election that we had and the recent American election are the first elections where I can recall where there was a huge focus on climate change. And instead of asking, you know, candidates, instead of being asked about their fiscal policies or about what they, you know, thought regards to abortion or pro-life and things like that, often we were hearing this question about climate change. You guys recognize that? Did anyone else notice that? It's kind of concerns of the world are shifting a little bit. Now, these things, all these things that we talked about, they are issues, in many cases, that we are facing. But I think it's what's even more likely is that these are issues that the media and those who control the media want us to believe that we're facing. And there's a big difference, right? We can't really get into all the reasons for that. Certainly some of these have a tremendous amount of legitimacy. But when we ponder all these things, when we think about these things, when you're watching the evening news, or maybe you're a newspaper reader, or maybe you read news magazines, or maybe you're more like me, and you get your news from the internet, certain news websites or social media and that sort of thing, what you're being presented with, the issues and the challenges, if there's worries and concerns that are being presented, that's what those who control the media want you to focus on, right? And that's what they want you to get absorbed with and perhaps get worried and a little bit uptight about. And so it's important for us to understand that. For us as believers, however, when we're getting ready to enter a new year and a new decade and a new season in our lives, we want to be listening to God's agenda, right? We want to be saying, Holy Spirit, what do you have for me? What are the things that you want me to be focusing on? I want to look above what the world is presenting as opportunities for me to focus on and get all interested in and make those things my priorities. I want to look above that and beyond that into what do you have for me? What are the things that you are speaking to me at this time and in this season? We're called to believe differently than the world. All those things that I listed, right? Climate change, social injustice, economic difficulties, economic challenges, all those things that the world wants you to be wrapped up on those things and focus on those things. And oftentimes they're a distraction for other things that are taking place. But God wants us to be thinking about different things and thinking differently than the world. Matthew 6:31 says, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Let's pray before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have a word for us today, Lord, that will stir us, it will encourage us, Lord, and it will inspire and equip us, Lord, for the season that we are entering into, the season that we are moving forward into as families, Lord, and as a church family, Lord. And so we welcome you, Holy Spirit, here today. As we share your word, Lord, may it go down deep more. May we have revelation in our hearts, Lord, the revelation in our souls as well, the revelation in our minds, Lord, for the things that you have in store for us, the things that you want us to focus on in this new season, the things that you want us to press into. So we give this time to you, Jesus, in your name, amen. So the Spirit of God inside you and I makes us different than those in the world around us, right? If you have a relationship with Jesus, you have the Spirit of God inside you, and that causes you, and it should cause you, to think differently and believe differently than the world. So the world has things that dominate their minds. They have cares and worries and concerns and even opportunities, so good things, opportunities to make wealth or bring increase or to grow business or whatever it might be. There are certain things that dominate the minds of unbelievers. God has different things that ought to be dominating our minds. God has a different things that he's calling us into that he wants us to be thinking about, and he wants our priorities to be the priorities of heaven. Colossians 3:1-2 says, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. Set your sights on the realities of heaven and think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. And I think this verse is a great verse for us to ponder and meditate on and say, Lord, what are the things of heaven that you want me to be thinking about? What are the things of heaven that you want dominating my mind as I prepare myself and I prepare my family for this new season, for this new period of time that we're about to enter into? What are the heavenly perspectives that I need for my marriage, my family, my business, my career, my church family? What are the heavenly perspectives and the things that you want me thinking about? What are the thoughts that you want dominating my mind? We're going to talk a little bit about Joshua. So we're going to spend some time in Joshua 1. You can go ahead and turn there if you like. The Lord brought my attention to the story of Joshua because Joshua was a leader who was ready, getting ready and standing at the doorstep of a new season. He was standing at the gateway of a new time in his life. And also the nation of Israel was as well. And of course, we know that those of you who are familiar with God's word know that the Israelites have just spent 40 years basically doing figure eights and circles in the desert. And they would come close to the promised land, the land that the Lord had set aside for them. But then, you know, we know that they had one big opportunity where they chickened out. And so they just kind of went around. And they really spent 40 years in a place where if they had been walking in faith and been strong and full of courage, they could have conquered, you know, walked across in 2 weeks, and they could have gone in and taken that Canaan land. But they spent 40 years there. Moses, God's servant, has faithfully led them. But now Moses has passed on, and God has spoken really clearly to Moses that Joshua, his kind of his intern or his protege, is to be raised up, and Joshua is now the new leader. And the Israelites had to be thinking, you know, they were well aware of the miracles that God had done through Moses. You know, he led them powerfully out of Egypt and signs and wonders, and the Red Sea was split, and there was nations that they encountered in their journeys through the desert, and God had won them great victories. Remember the story of it was Aaron and Hur lifting up Moses' arms, and while his arms were up in the air, the Israelites won a great victory. And when they started to drop, you know, they weren't doing so well. And so, you know, there was battles that they fought and battles that were won and victories that were achieved because of God's power. God's provision was also known mightily, right? So what do you eat in the middle of a desert? And so there was manna and quail that were provided for them. And so they had experienced God's rescue, God's victory. They had experienced God's provision. And now they're thinking, what's next? Moses is gone. Is Joshua going to be up to the task? Who's going to take care of us? Who's going to hear from God for us? Moses was the prophet who would go in and spend time with the Lord. And the Lord would speak to Moses, and Moses would pass on God's word to the rest of the people. And they had to be thinking, what's going to happen? Are things going to be the same? Are things going to be different? How are we going to get through this next stage, this next season that the Lord has for us? And because Joshua is human, I'm sure he's thinking the same way, right? He was witness to all the great things that God had done through his servant Moses. And he had to be thinking, Lord, I believe that you're calling me, but are you going to be able to use me the same way you used your servant Moses? Am I up to the challenge? I don't know. Am I going to be able to hear you the way you clearly spoke to Moses? And so he's thinking about these things, and he's having these thoughts and pondering these things as they're getting ready to conquer Canaan and take possession. They were looking ahead. They knew it was ahead. They had checked it out, right? They had already sent spies. They knew the nations that were ahead. They knew that there was big people. There was giants in those nations. They knew that they were going to need God to help them. And so Joshua no doubt was thinking, how on earth are we going to be able to conquer Canaan? How on earth are we going to be able to take possession of the promised land? He's having all these thoughts. And so the Lord now is talking directly to Joshua. And we're going to pick up the story right in Joshua 1, the first chapter. This is a story where God is having a direct conversation with Joshua. Verse 1, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. Verse 3, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I've given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all of the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. So God has some very specific things to say to Joshua, to have him change his thinking, to have him get that heavenly perspective, to have him in a place where God's thoughts would be dominating Joshua's thoughts. And it's interesting that the first thing that God says to him is, I promised you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land that I've given you. I think Joshua needed to be reminded of the promises of God. You guys pick that up? Joshua needed to be reminded there are specific promises that I've given to Moses and I've given to the nation of Israel, and those promises are still true. They're still in effect. They're still in force. Time hasn't expired. Yes, it wasn't my will and my desire for you guys to spend 40 years in the wilderness, and Joshua knew that. It should have taken 2 weeks, but my promises are still in effect. I still have good plans for you. The dreams and desires that are in your heart, I still want to honor those. I still want to see those fulfilled in your lives. Amen? And so Joshua needed to be reminded about those promises and needed to remember that God hadn't changed his mind. If you have a relationship with Jesus, and probably most of the people in this room do, you have received all kinds of good promises from God as well. Amen? So God's Word, the Bible, is full of promises for those who believe in Him, full of good and wonderful promises for those who have a relationship with Jesus. But there's other promises that we receive as well. Sometimes the Lord speaks to us through a prophetic word, and so He'll have someone else who hears from the Lord and is bold enough to say, you know what, the Lord has spoken to me this about you. I have some of those. I have prophetic words. So, and in most cases, I have them written down. Sometimes I have them on recording on my computer, and I'll play them every once in a while, or I'll get out those prophecies that have been written down, and I'll remind myself again of God's promises. Sometimes the Lord will speak to you in person when you're just you and Him, spending time together. This happens to me as well. And He'll speak something to me, and it's so clear, and it's so impactful. I'm not a big journaler, but I'll write it down. I'll keep a Bible beside my nightstand, and I'll write that down, and I'll write down that scripture, and maybe date it. And that's something that I'll revisit, a promise, a word that the Lord has spoken to me. So there's all kinds of promises that we receive from the Lord, and now is the time to remind ourselves of those promises. Stir it up. Get them back in our thinking. That's what we want to be thinking about, is the promises of God. But what has the Lord spoken to you? See, there's things in life, there's things that will happen to us that can cause us to wonder about those promises, that can cause us to wonder, well, maybe I didn't quite hear clearly. The Lord woke me up in the middle of the night, maybe my mind was foggy and I thought He was saying this, but He was saying something different. There's things that will happen. There's discouragements and troubles and challenges that we face. Sometimes there's setbacks in life. Sometimes we suffer for Christ. And there's things that can happen that can cause us to question God's promises. Are they really true? You know, and I believe that Joshua was kind of in this place, and God has said, I want to remind you again, the things that I promised to Moses, these are for you. They weren't just for Moses, they're for you as well, and I am ready to make them reality in your life. I'm going to be with you as I was with Moses, and I will bring you the victory. And I don't know, you know, some of you I know better than others, and so I don't know for each of you the specific promises that you're standing on. But I believe that the Lord has given you promises. There are specific things that are in your heart, things that you've been believing about, things that you've prayed about, things that you've set your hope on. And the Lord wants to say, it's not the time to let those go. It's not the time to give up on that. I was so blessed that Bill shared the word that he shared this morning, because that's what God's been speaking to me about. This is not the time to give up hope on those promises. They're still there. They're still in effect. They're still for you. And God still desires to bring them pass, to bring them to pass in your life. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man, so He does not lie. He's not human, so He does not change His mind. Has He ever spoken and failed to act? Has He ever promised and not carried it through? Do you guys know who said that? Bible trivia time. There's a guy named Balaam. Now, here's the thing. Balaam was not a God-fearing individual. He was a wicked prophet, the Bible tells us. But he wasn't a false prophet. There were things that God told Balaam that were true. And so Balaam was a wicked prophet, but he heard from the Lord. And those are the words of Balaam the prophet. God is not a man, so He does not lie. He's not human, so He does not change His mind. Has He ever spoken and failed to act? Has He ever promised and not carried it through? God's reputation preceded itself. Balaam had heard about this God of the Israelites, and this is what he declared, that God does not change His mind. He always carries through with His promises. That's an encouraging word from the Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. Did you guys catch that? All of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes or so be it, ascends to God for His glory. So when we agree with Jesus, when we agree with Christ and say, yes, Lord, I declare Your promises, I receive Your promises, I declare that they're for me, they are yes and amen, and I declare that they shall be in my life. When we say amen, we're saying, so be it. We're agreeing with the words of Mary, the mother of Jesus, that said, be it unto me according to Your word. That's what amen means. It means, Lord, I declare that Your promises are unto me according to Your word, and that brings glory to God in heaven. So God is saying to Joshua, remember the promises. the promises that I've given you, Moses, wherever your foot shall tread. Now, certainly, that was a reminder of the territory and the inheritance of land that God was giving the nation of Israel. But I believe that there was even more to that, that God was referring to the challenges and the obstacles that the people of Israel would face with their feet, right? It wasn't, we know from reading, if we're going to read from the book of Joshua and go forward, there was all kinds of challenges, all kinds of obstacles that they were going to face to conquer the land of Canaan. And God was reminding Joshua, every place that your foot is treading, I've given to you. Not just the easy steps, but some of the difficult steps. Not just the easy path, but some of the challenges, some of the places where you're looking and it doesn't seem to be any way through that obstacle, that challenge, that thing is in front of you. I've given that place to you as well. Amen? So for those of us who look back on the victory won by Jesus, we know that our victory was won through Christ. Now we're on the other side of the cross, right? Now we're looking back to the cross and we're seeing the victory. Joshua had to look forward in faith, and he was looking forward in faith to a God who was going to win the victory through Jesus Christ. And God is telling Joshua, you can do this. I got this. I've won the victory for you. I've already got it planned out. I've already got it figured out. Just move forward with me. Move forward with strength and courage, and I'll bring it to pass in your life. So this is an opportunity for us again to remind ourselves of the promises of God in our life. What are the promises that God's given you? What are the things specifically that he's given you about your future? What are the things that he's affirmed about the dreams and desires, the specific things that you have in your heart? Not just the promises that he's given all of us. You know, the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's a promise from the Lord. We're part of the kingdom. So we have a promise and a right to righteousness, peace, and joy. But there's more specific things that God will speak to you and reveal to you. And those are the promises as well that you want to stir up and think about and have them dominate your thoughts. Isaiah 40:28 says, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. You know, I was thinking about this verse and I kind of had a chuckle because God is never weak or weary, so he's always able to fulfill his promises. I made a promise to my young nephew, Liam, that I'd play a board game with him. We bought him this game called Munchkin. Josh was all about this game. And so Liam was really excited to play this game called Munchkin. He says, okay, I'm going to play that game with me. Right? Yes, I will play that game with you. But what happens after you eat like a big Christmas meal? You don't feel like playing a game, do you? You kind of feel just like sitting on the couch and like, and you kind of like, you're trying to listen to the conversation. You're dropping off and pretty soon it's like 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock. And Uncle Cam, are you going to play with me? Like, you know, Liam, tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow, right? And then tomorrow comes and like, you know, I had to make a choice that I'm not going to grow weary. I'm going to fulfill my promise to Liam. And so we played Munchkin and we had a good time doing it. But God never gets weary. He's always able to fulfill his promises. He's always excited and ready and able to fulfill his promises. So let's keep on reading. Verse 29, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. Did you guys notice that? You know, we usually read the last part of those verses, right? Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. And they will run and not grow weary. But those verses started by saying, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. Do you notice that God's strength becomes your strength? There's a transference that takes place there. You know, it's not strength that you found yourself, but as you trust in the Lord and as you look to him, his strength becomes your strength. And so that's part of what God is looking to encourage Joshua, because we're going to talk about strength right away here. Is Joshua, Lord is saying to Joshua, Joshua, I have a strength for you. I've prepared things for you. I've made a way for you. And I have a strength for you to lean in you, my strength that will become your strength as you rely on me. And so let's keep on reading now. We've read Joshua 1-5. We're going to keep on going in verse 6. And this is still God's conversation to Joshua. This is pep talk time. Joshua is getting ready to lead the people of Israel into the new land. And he needs to hear from the Lord himself. To this point, it's been Moses has heard from the Lord, and Moses has passed on the message to Joshua. But now the Lord is speaking to Joshua clearly. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instruction Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. You sense a theme here? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And several times God is telling Moses emphatically, be strong and courageous. It's interesting, if you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, which is the book right before the book of Joshua, God actually spoke that message to Moses several times for Moses to give to Joshua as well. And so Joshua had actually already heard those words through Moses. Moses said, God told me, Joshua, be strong and courageous. And I did a quick scan, and I found that was three times in Deuteronomy 31 alone. Perhaps it was in other places as well. But then just in these three short verses, God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. And then, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. I think it's really interesting that God's just reminded Joshua of all his promises, right? Every place you go, that every place that you set your feet, that land is yours. And I've given you the victory. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to perform miracles and victories on your behalf. And now God is telling Joshua, be strong and courageous. And I actually wonder sometimes if we can read these verses and we have the thought, why would God be needing to tell Joshua to be so strong and courageous if the victory is already won for him? You guys ever had that thought? You know, God's telling Joshua, it's done. I've done it all for you. And then he's saying, be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. And this is my command. Be strong and courageous. And it almost seems like a little bit of a contradiction. They're like, if it's already done, why does Joshua need to be so strong and courageous? And I have an example that perhaps will help us understand that. If I have a friend who wants to send me money, one of the ways I can suggest him doing it, if anyone wants to do this, this is great. But one of the ways they could do it is send me a bank draft. But if a friend wants to send me money using a bank draft, they'll have to go to their bank and they get the bank draft written. And the bank will first check and make sure that they have the money in their account. Then they'll withdraw the money out of that account and they'll leave it in trust for me to receive. And so now that I know the money's there, the bank has got it in trust. It's already out of that person's account and the bank draft is issued. If I take that bank draft, I'm going to have to go, and I'm going to have to go to my own bank, and I'm going to have to cash that bank draft. I'm going to have to deposit those funds into my bank account if I want to receive that money. There's a whole process that needs to take place. Now, those funds are guaranteed. When I receive that bank draft, those funds are guaranteed, right? One of the features of a bank draft is that those funds are guaranteed. They're held in trust for me. I don't have to wonder, is this check going to bounce or anything like that? Those funds are guaranteed. But if I want to receive that money, that bank draft is not enough. I have to go and make that deposit, see the money in my bank account, and then go ahead and make the withdrawal to receive that money. And our lives follow that very same principle. God's promises are guaranteed through Christ, but receiving is not automatic. We've talked about this before. God's promises are guaranteed. Remember, in Christ they're yea and amen, but we don't receive them automatically. We have a part to play, and it's the role of faith. Faith is receiving everything that God has promised for us. It's continuous belief in God's promises until they're fully realized and fully received in our life. And faith takes courage. Faith takes courage. It's not always easy to have faith. It's not always easy to continue in faith and stand in faith. See, God was looking ahead. God knew what was ahead for Joshua. Those verses tell us they're right up against a big river, the Jordan River. And there was no way in the natural that Joshua was going to be able to take all his armies and all the families and all the children and all the livestock safely to that river. There was no ford for them to cross. There was a current. It was deep. And so right away, they're up against the river, and they got no way through this obstacle in front of them. They were going to need faith, and they're going to need courage to see God move on their behalf. And we know that that happened. Well, what was right after the river? Jericho. Right? This big fortress city. And if you go read the story of Jericho, I mean, it talks about how thick the walls are and how high they are. And the inhabitants of that city just laughed at the people of Israel because they knew this. There's no way that these people are going to be able to take our city. There's just absolutely no way. And so God knew the Jordan River was ahead of Joshua and Jericho was ahead of Joshua. And Joshua was going to need courage because very soon there was going to be a mountain of evidence that was going to present itself in Joshua's life against the promises of God. Very soon in Joshua's life, there is going to be a mountain of evidence, the Jordan River and Jericho and giants and nations that seem that they couldn't be conquered. There is going to be a mountain of evidence that would present itself to Joshua and to the Israelites against the promises of God. And so they had to remind themselves of the promises of God, and they needed courage to keep on believing in the promises of God when the physical evidence, whether it's a river or a giant city or a mighty nation, whatever that evidence was, they needed to remind themselves of God's promises that He would give them the victory so they could stay in faith and so they could see the victory in their lives. If Joshua was going to have the courage to stay in faith, he was going to have to continually make a deposit in his life. He was going to continually have to put God's word in his heart. And so when we go back and read those verses, that's Joshua 1:8. I have it right here. God tells Joshua, study this book of instruction carefully, meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Just like Joshua, the word of God is what we deposit in our lives, right? If we're going to think of our lives in terms of this deposit and withdrawal that we talked about, the Word of God is what we deposit. The Word of God is what we put in to make our spirit strong. And then we get to make a faith withdrawal, right? When there's a challenge, when there's an obstacle, when there's a situation in front of us, if we've deposited the Word of God into our lives, then we can make a faith withdrawal. Little deposits, little faith. Big deposit of God's Word, we can have big faith to meet that obstacle and that thing in front of us. And so God is telling Joshua, you're going to need strength and courage, and you're going to need all kinds of faith. So meditate on God's promises. Meditate on God's word. Let it fill up inside you, bubbling over, so that you have a strong faith, you have a strong spirit, and you can stand in faith and have courage for all the things that you're going to be facing right away in your life. There's a quote, and I can't remember where I saw this quote. I tried to find it online. I couldn't even find it. But it's something that I saw in the last year, and I'm not even sure I'm remembering it totally 100% accurately, but it went something like this. Life flows in the direction of your strongest thoughts, or life flows in the direction of your most powerful thoughts. And I really think that that's true. The things that we focus about, the things that we are letting dominate our thoughts, our life is just going to gravitate toward that thing, you know. So for, you know, if I'm thinking about hockey all the time, and playing hockey and watching hockey and playing, you know, NHL 2020 or whatever, and like video games hockey and trying to collect hockey cards, I mean, that's just, my life will just be consumed by hockey, you know. And so hobbies have the opportunity to do this to us. Certainly the things that we're involved in sometimes are work, you know, workaholics. If all they're thinking about is work, eventually their life is consumed by work, and that's why we'd call them a workaholic, right? Because their life will flow in that direction. We just talked about all the things that the world will want us thinking about, right? There's all kinds of opportunities out there that can consume our mind, opportunities that can cause us to, you know, if we think about it enough, be willing to change our priorities so our life flows in that direction. And the world has an agenda. Again, I want you guys to really understand this point, that the world has an agenda. The world has things that they want us to be focusing on, so our life will flow in that direction. And it's usually for someone else's gain and someone else's profit and someone else's benefit, not our own. God wants things, and God has things for us to focus on, things that He wants us to meditate on, promises that He wants us to be alive and dominating our mind, and they're for our benefit and for our good and for our victory and for our success. But life will flow in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And so because the walk of faith is a spiritual battle, you, just like Joshua, and me, just like Joshua, we are going to encounter things in our lives where there's evidence that will present itself as contrary, or evidence that will present itself against the promises of God's word. Can anyone identify with that? I know I can identify with that. You know, sometimes the Lord will give you a promise and a scripture, and you're standing on it. And then a few days later, something will happen in your life that is physical evidence that would seemingly contradict this promise that the Lord's given you. And now we're at a crossroads. Now we're at an opportunity. Am I going to walk by faith? Am I going to walk by sight? Am I going to look at that thing that's presented itself in my life and say, well, this is reality? Or am I going to continue to acknowledge a higher reality, a higher truth, the truth of God's word and God's promises? But because life is a spiritual battle, there will always, always, always be things in the world that our enemy will stir up and bring to us to try and present itself against the promises of God's word, and we're going to have an opportunity to make a decision. What are we going to believe? What are we going to let dominate our thoughts? Where is our focus going to be? What is our priority going to be? And so the question that I have for you guys is, what has God promised? That's the first thing that I want you to remember from this talk today. And what has God promised? You know, first God had Joshua look back, right? Not to look back and spend time pondering everything that happened, but God had Joshua look back to the promises that had already been made. And the Lord said to Joshua, what have I promised you? Those things that I promised Moses, those things, those promises in Deuteronomy 28, those are for you. They weren't just for Moses. They weren't just for a previous time. Those promises are for you, and I want them to be reality in your life in these days ahead. And, you know, that's something that we need to consider as well. God is speaking to us. What are the promises that I've given you? What are those things that I've spoken to you over your life? Stir them up. Give them consideration again. And then what are you looking forward into? So we look back to the promises of God, but then we look forward, and what are we looking forward into? Are we looking forward to opportunities? Are we looking forward to growth? Are we looking forward to dreams and desires that the Lord's given us? Or are we looking forward to doubts and uncertainties and the things that the world would want us to focus on, right? We have an opportunity right now as we enter 2020, a new year and a new decade. What are we going to focus on? What are the things that we're going to give priority in our mind? And now we have an opportunity to make deposits of God's word in our life. Amen? We have an opportunity right now to get built up and strong, get into the word, put those promises in front of our minds, in front of our eyes, recite them, memorize them, find more of them, write them down, print them out, do whatever you got to do. Spend time praying over them. Spend time saying, Lord, this is in your word and I don't quite understand it. Reveal it to me. Show it to me. Now we have a time to make deposits because change is coming, and we are going to face in this next year opportunities where there's evidence that would contradict God's word. But we need to be strong and courageous so that we remember God's word, remember the promises, and we choose to believe them over the evidence that's presented in front of us. Amen? You know, I just think that there's some of us here in this room where this last year hasn't gone just exactly the way we had hoped. You know, I typically, when I'm starting a new year, I'm pretty optimistic. I'm looking forward. I'm thinking, man, there's great things that are in front of me, and I'm excited about the new year, new opportunities, and I'm going to get more fit this year than the last year, and I'm thinking that way already, but scale still says E. We'll have to get that fixed. But you know, I'm already looking to this next year, and the Lord has shown me ways that He wants me to grow and change to be a better husband and a better father and a better leader, and new things that He wants to add to my abilities and my leadership. And the Lord's showing me those things, and I'm excited about it. But I still have an opportunity. I still have to make a decision. Am I going to continue to focus on those things? Am I going to continue to declare God's promises? Or some of the distractions that are around me, some of that evidence that's kind of down there, and I know it's down there, I have a decision to make, right? What am I going to focus on? What's going to dominate my thoughts? Am I going to continue to look ahead to what the Lord has? An example that comes to my mind, and I've shared this with you guys before, but when I was younger, I used to ride dirt bikes, and if you're on a really rocky trail, say you're out in BC somewhere, and you're on a really challenging trail, If you were wanted to get, say, to the top of that hill or across that meadow and there was logs and sticks and rocks and things like that, if you're looking down at the distractions, if you're looking down at current events, and that could be boulders or sticks or ruts or whatever, chances are you're going to end up on your side, perhaps knock the wind out of yourself, perhaps bent the handlebars in your bike, something like that. If you're looking down, it's a surefire way to crash. The best thing you can do, and it's totally counterintuitive, but you just lift your eyes from that stuff and you just kind of blip the glass a little bit. Go a little bit faster, you know, and the bike is such a well-engineered piece of machinery that it'll take you through that trouble. It'll take you through that difficulty. If you just get your eyes off the difficulties and stay on the gas, 30 seconds later, you've made it through that situation. You look back and you're like, how on earth did I do that? I have no idea how I did that. But the bike did right. The bike did the work. The suspension worked the way it was supposed to work. The tires tracked the way they were supposed to track, and it got you through that next season. And that's really, it's really an analogy for us here spiritually. We don't know how we're going to get, you know, Bill talked about, sometimes we're in a situation where we don't know the way through. We don't know how we're going to get through it. How are we going to do it? We're going to lift our eyes and say, Lord, I choose to be strong and courageous. I choose to put my faith and my hope in your promises. I don't need to know the how. I just need to know the who. And the who is Jesus. And he will take us through if we're strong and courageous. The Lord has been speaking this phrase to me pretty strong. So we're going to see it more this year, because I think this is one of the things that's a theme for us this year. Is, Lord, show us how to be strong and courageous. Because in some ways, we're entering challenging times, but they're amazing times where I believe as we stay strong and courageous, as we let our faith grow strong, as we make deposits of faith, God's going to do amazing things in our lives, in this church, and in the kingdom of God. I really believe that. It's exciting days ahead for those who are strong and courageous. Amen? Let's stand. One final scripture I want to share with you guys is Philippians 3:13. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. So regardless of how this year has went, and maybe it hasn't stacked up exactly the way you imagined it at the beginning, maybe 2019 wasn't exactly the year you imagined, let's leave it behind. Let's let it go. And let's look forward to the new opportunity, the new season that the Lord has in front of us. Because they're exciting times. I believe they're times of change. They're times of challenges. But they're times of victory as we stay strong and courageous. Amen? So that's God's word for us. Be strong and courageous. What have I promised? Because it's still my promise for you. It's still my desire for you. But be strong and courageous so you can receive everything I want you to receive. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we receive your word today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are speaking to us strongly, Lord. Just as you spoke to Joshua strongly, and you said, be strong and courageous, be very strong and courageous. And then you said, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Lord, we take those words to heart in the first chapter of Joshua, Lord, and we choose to obey your word and be strong and courageous. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have opportunities in front of us to use our faith to follow you through, a place where we don't know the way through. We don't know how it's going to happen, but you have a plan. You have a way through. You have a victory that's not yet seen by us, but we have a promise of that victory, Lord. And so we rely on the promise. We set our faith on the promise, Lord, and we are strong and courageous, Lord, that you will win the victory for us, Lord. Everything that you've promised to us, Lord, you are with us, and every place that our feet go, Lord, you've seen in advance the challenge, the difficulty, Lord, but you've also seen the inheritance that is ours. You've also seen the fullness of the promise that's for us, Lord. And we thank you that you've made a way through, Lord. And so we look to this next season, this next year, Lord, with excitement, with wonder, with expectation at all that you're going to do in us and through us. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God who never grows weary. Lord, for those who are here, Lord, who perhaps felt like this has been a year where I've gotten a little bit weary, I just want to speak right now encouragement and strength. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you lift us up, Lord. Lord, just the same way, Lord, that even ewes grow weary, Lord, those of us who are not even ewes anymore, we can experience an increase of strength. And those of us who are young, Lord, we can experience greater strength because your strength becomes our strength. And so I declare over anyone weary in this place right now, Lord, they rise up with wings like eagles, Lord, that you give them new strength, new courage, new eyes of faith, new boldness, new excitement for everything, Lord, that you have in front of us, Lord. We purpose to do it together. We purpose to follow you and pursue you together, Lord. We purpose to be strong and courageous in your mighty name. Lord, for this week, Lord, for everything that's in front of us, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, as there's another holiday soon coming on Wednesday, for the opportunity to spend time with friends and family, Lord. So for every opportunity in front of us during this holiday season, Lord, we thank you that we can share the love of God. We can share the life of God. We can encourage each other and build each other up, Lord. And so we declare your blessing and your favor on this week. And we look forward to being together again next week. In your name, amen. If there's anything in your life that you'd like prayer for, I just invite you up over.